podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the Anfield Wrap in association with RedsBet. RedsBet are the company who give 50% of their profits, i.e. your losses, to a designated cause of your choice. If you have signed up, do make sure you specify the cause that you'd like it to go to, the Liverpool supporter fan-related cause you'd like it to go to, so that they can allocate the funds as and when. Be gamble aware at all times. That's the way this goes. You understand that by now. We've been partnering with them, as I say, for the whole 2018. I am joined to talk about Liverpool versus Manchester City predominantly, that we will touch on the weekend's other results by Phil Bundle, Ian Salmon, Fuad Hassan and James Sutton. I will start with you, Phil. It was a remarkably tense game at Anfield, I think. I really wore it, to be honest with you, whilst it was happening. It was serious. It was two serious teams, and it became the sort of occasion where at this stage of the season, not losing was the biggest prize on offer for both sides.
Yeah, and you almost didn't feel under a great deal. You had a fear of something happening that was bad, but there was never really a position where, obviously by the penalty, where you were thinking something bad's going to happen. Neither team created a great deal. Two teams cancelled each other out. And I've read quite a lot this morning about it. I read Football 365 do a 16 conclusions on big games. I don't know why 16, but they just seem to settle on 16. And it seemed to basically criticise lots of people without acknowledging that people weren't great because each team didn't let them be good. It was two really well-organised defences that seemed to be actually a bit... It seems like both teams over the summer have stepped their defensive level up quite a lot and are more intent on being able to stop the opposition playing. And they both seem to have sacrificed a little bit attacking-wise for it. But I think both teams were just happy with the point and to get out of it and move on from there.
Ian, it's interesting what Phil says there about the shape. I thought that apart from the first 15, Manchester City's shape was one of the best I've ever seen at Anfield in terms of stopping us from playing. It didn't appear to have a great deal of this is how we're going to get at these lads, which I think is what Phil's trying to say. It was two sides who basically turned... simply playing out from the back into a knife edge activity on the one hand. But then as soon as you managed to do that, you got to the halfway line, you could just take a big breather, you could just relax and then go...
There's literally nobody to hit with the ball.
Yeah, and just knock it around for a little bit and take some time out of it, and it happened for both sides.
Yeah, very much so. I thought they started off with a very definite 4-2-3-1, where they expect a 4-3-3 mirror in ours. But to see Silver actually sitting deep alongside Fernandinho, and then the three in front... with Aguero basically marooned up front and obviously not getting any service, which is always a gorgeous thing to watch. And he could have stayed on the pitch all day for me. I think what we saw was two teams who are very good at controlling passing lanes, and both those teams controlled passing lanes all day. So there was literally, I've seen some of our stats on passing and they're not particularly wonderful. I'd love to see some of their stats on passing because I don't think they'll be any better. Because I think we just completely, totally nullified each other. I think from City side, in terms of their defensive abilities now, Mendy looked magnificent. I'm impressed by the way that John Stones has become the player you thought he could be across the summer with England and took it into yesterday. And I thought Laporte was incredible yesterday.
I thought it's a terrific performance, genuinely fantastic. Terrific. I thought he was man of the match, like, yeah, definitely best player on the pitch.
There was no point putting anything in the air because he was going to deal with it. And he was an absolute colossus, which isn't what you expect from City's back four generally. But they did look very, very mean.
Fuad, I think the more of this, it's worth pointing out, you know, Guardiola's emphatic post-match about what an open game against Liverpool would lead to. But I think there's also something in the better we get, it's perhaps the real testament to the idea that Pep Guardiola's basically picked a team there that says, I think Liverpool can win the league. Because his outlook is, the better we get, the more he's going to say a point at Anfield is a great result. And the entire setup is that. And the better we get, the more of this we're going to see.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like Pep's been sort of planning this game since about, when we beat them in the Champions League last year. Since then, just sort of, what can we do to completely stifle them? What can we do to combat the atmosphere? What can we do to stop them from picking the ball up in positions that other teams don't have the quality or the intensity to kind of get to and really hurt us with the quality? I mean, it kind of shows because this Man City team has, you know, over the last season and coming into this season, it's been kind of regarded as one of the best teams in the last few years. Certainly for me, it's probably one of the best footballing teams I've ever seen. And for them to come to Anfield and almost change how they've been playing over the last 2 years, 3 years. I think this game had City's fewest shots on goal since Guardiola's come in, which is huge.
For XG fans, their XG was like 0.33 or something.
Bar the penalty.
Yeah, but you don't really include
that. The outfield stuff. The other thing, James, is that it's the end of a, for us, it's after our run of fixtures. And I, you know, if in the end we do go on this season and finish above Manchester City, and we hope that that would lead to the promised land, I do sort of wonder if there might be somewhere in Guardiola's mind, if he was to look back and go, could we have made more of it against them that day? Because we've had our run of fixtures. Our run of fixtures have been the hardest run we've had for a decade. Paul Tompkins has looked into this and proven me right when I said that, which was really kind of him. Thanks, Paul, and hello. City, on the other hand, it has, yes, they had the really disappointing result against Lyon in the Champions League, but it hasn't quite been as arduous. Or do you think that if you're Guardiola, you're just thinking, this has been awful for us the last few times we've gone, we've survived?
I think it's a bit of both. I think he will have seen our results and our performances over the past few weeks, and part of him probably thought, yeah, we probably can get at these. And, you know, I think all of us would probably agree that a lot of our lads look quite tired, and a nice lie-in is probably what they need. But then the other side of it is, he might well look back and think, I could have gone for this, we could have done more. But again, you know, like we were saying before, you know, it's testament to how much respect this team now demands of opposition. You know, this is one of the best defensive Liverpool teams I've ever seen in my lifetime. It is that strong for me. I mean, there's no one's getting a sniff. Our record at conceding is incredible.
No, we haven't conceded a goal at home now since February, and it's about to be October.
It's that far back.
In the league. 15 minutes from half a season.
In the league.
In time terms.
I didn't realize it was that good.
Like,
but
half a season.
But that's it. We demand this level of respect now. And you know, what Pep was saying before the game as well, I thought was really interesting. You know, he was saying how dangerous we are and how worried his lot are of us. And you know, that's across the board. You know, teams look at us now. You know, if you try and play out, if you try and create space, we punish you.
It's Ian.
I think that there's also a point to be made that if you're Pep and you look back, you could look back and then go, well, I could have made more of it. But if you try to make more of it, you're pushing your fullbacks up. You're looking at going, at some point, our front three are going to click and they're going to look like they did last season. Now, I thought there were flashes, although he didn't get on the ball enough, but there were flashes from Salah yesterday where you could see a bit of speed that he's not had the last few weeks was suddenly there again. There was a bit of zip to him. And obviously, he's still snatching the shots. But if you're Pep and you think you're going to go for it, you're just exposing yourself to the chance that this is the day he comes good.
Both managers, I think, Phil, for instance, one of the things I said at halftime, because I didn't think we were using Gomez enough, and I tweeted out, you know, the manager might think about maybe doing Trent Alexander-Arnold. As it was, Liverpool did use Gomez more in the second half. We'll come on to talk about that. But I also then went on to say, but there's no way he is actually going to change it whilst it's 0-0. And that's the problem that both managers sort of had. If you know, it's interesting that Shaqiri's about to come on if they score the pen. And I think the way Klopp celebrates it is that it's to scream at Shaqiri to sit down as if to say, like, that's that now. And often I think you've seen before with Klopp, and I think you've saw it with Benitez, you've seen it with a lot of managers, I'm sure Guardiola's the same, where if I've decided that a change is a change I need to make, well, I'll make it regardless. That isn't the case there. You know, it is this idea now that, no, whilst this is 0-0, and I thought that both managers got themselves into a situation where there's been people saying, why didn't Klopp use one more sub? I think it's because from 70 onwards, there's a thing in his head going, 0-0's all right, you know, 0-0's all right, and Guardiola's in the same boat.
And it is. And if you're there 20 minutes to go, it's hard to go and think we should gamble and win this game, because ultimately, if we do go on to win this league, it is quite possible that the difference is that missed penalty, because that's a 3 points, that's a, what, 3 point swing.
Yeah.
And we're not going to, if we do win the league, we're not going to be much more than 3 points ahead of Manchester City come the end of the season. So to argue that you should go for it and be a bit more aggressive, it's only October and you've got time to pull the points back, but it's still a big thing to do. And ultimately, you're 0-0 with Manchester City. They're the best team in Europe. You go, thanks very much. That's great. All right, okay. We beat them, what is it, 5-6 times on the bounce at Anfield before. But no one's going to limit Manchester City like that the rest of the season. They're from an offensive point of view. They didn't. Alisson's not made. He made what, one half save from Mahrez in the second half when he cut inside and he put it down to his left. Yeah. But other than that, Manchester City, we limited them. So to say you might look at Gomez and think Trent's a better option, you can't really say.
Yeah.
You would do that, because if you're stopping them from playing like we did, why would you change it?
Ian, do you think there's something in, and I thought this after the the Napoli game, and I'm glad you've used the phrase passing lanes first, but I think it is time to acknowledge they literally are a thing. We might not like the terminology, but the idea of where you position yourself to stop someone from playing a ball. I think in Napoli and Manchester City, we've come up against two really good managers who've almost certainly got brilliant backroom teams, who've got terrific video analysts, who've also had the summer. You know what I mean? This isn't being done on the fly. This isn't game to game. They've had the summer to look at what Liverpool do and to say, and if you're Manchester City, you know you will play Liverpool. And if you're Napoli, you know you need to get a result against Liverpool after that draw. You'll put the hard yards in. You'll have put the work in to work this out. You'll have put the hours in. And I wondered if that's a bit of what we've come up against. And it matters that it's two really good teams doing it.
Yeah, because I think, in fairness, I think all teams have had the summer to look at what we do. And this could be why we're seeing such little impact from our front three at the moment, because all teams have kind of gone, this is what Liverpool have done. But the teams that have actually succeeded have had to be really, really good. It's two absolute top teams. You know, Paris Saint-Germain possibly came to Anfield with the arrogance of going, we don't need to do this. We don't need to nullify Liverpool because we'll beat them. But they've both looked at us and gone, this is what Liverpool do. This is how we actually nullify them. I think the passing lanes thing, I was thinking this during the game yesterday. I found the game absolutely compelling. It was probably appalling if you're a neutral of any kind. But to watch it.
And also if it's on the telly, because a lot of what you're talking about is not looking at footballers, not being able to see other footballers or know that if they play that pass by and it's out by that much, someone will just get the toe on it and then it'll be an interception. There's very few interceptions in the game.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I know me and Steve Evans sit very close to each other, literally two rows apart. And there's the same supporter who sits off to one side of us, who you hear all the time, put your foot in, get stuck in. It's kind of like, that's not the way the game works anymore. And you need that appreciation of the fact that what you're seeing on the pitch isn't necessarily what the players in front of you are seeing, because they're seeing it in front of them. You're seeing it from the side or you're seeing it from the cop, but they're seeing it literally in front of them at their own height. So they see the lanes much better than we are. And what we're doing is there's no point trying to close down a man of the caliber of City's players right on his toes to try and bite them, because if you try and bite them, they're going to put the ball past you and go past you. They'll just take you immediately. But if you're closing down their options, and there was a moment, I think it was in the first half, I think it might have been Milner. I think it was Sadio Mane. You could see that he was considering the passing lanes across two players, one ball to two players. And you could see he was positioning himself to be at the position of maximum opportunity, if we're going to use that phrase. I'm not going to go as far as using XG, I'll never get there. But he was at the position where you think, right, I can intercept either now. I'm on my feet and I can intercept either. I think that's very much where the top, top level teams are, and we are a top, top level team.
Yeah, I completely agree. I thought it was a really compelling game. I was fascinated. I actually enjoyed this a lot more than some of the other games we've played this season. My missus had no idea why I was still watching it after an hour. She was like, this is nonsense. I was like, no, this is brilliant. The way that we, the opening 20 minutes, I thought we came out of the box. I thought we were really, really good. I think we really took it to them. And actually the way that we dealt with David Silva, I thought was fantastic. Identifying him as a real, you know, a big threat and playing him out of the game, I think it was just remarkable.
And just having him whinge all afternoon.
And having him whinge all afternoon.
Just to watch.
Well, but that takes discipline and that takes intelligence. And actually, going back to what you were saying before about these, you know, about Paris Saint-Germain and teams like that having a certain arrogance, I think it's also a testament to Pep Guardiola and how good a manager he is to come and actually outline exactly, listen, we need to, it's not about winning, it's about not losing. Yeah. And to come and do what they did, I thought is paramount to the way he manages and also Klopp as well. You know, intelligent play, really, really disciplined. I thought our formation was fantastic for huge parts of the game.
Yeah. I remember just on this idea of the absolute edge that balls have to be played on throughout first half, there was this sort of clipped, curved pass out to the right flank that Wijnaldum nearly gets a chest slash head onto, and he almost like he's arced his whole body to try to, because he's off the basis that if I bring this down, we're in. Yeah. And it's and that again is the quality of the pass that he just can't quite reach it. But it also it reminds you of the tightrope the pass is played on, that they'll put this, they've sprayed it. It's one of the few genuinely sort of flamboyant moments of the game. And when Alan's response is almost flamboyant, and if he wins it, you think, oh God, we could have been in there. You can see why he's so eager to get his chest to it.
Yeah, exactly. Like James was saying, I thought the first 20 minutes we played brilliantly. It was probably the only real spell in the game where we, or even City, were winning the ball fairly high up the pitch and being able to run at the defence a little bit more. And, you know, if the front three was in the form that we've seen them in, maybe they could have combined and created something themselves. But yeah, no, like you're saying, I think that was one of my little frustrations, just because Trent has been really good at playing that ball, that curve ball down the line to Salah or to one of the midfielders peeling across. And I thought if we would try to do that a little bit more and we had a bit more quality in the past, then we could have kind of broken through a little bit. But then you got to take into consideration that, you know, their fullbacks, I think we were talking before about how their fullbacks really did stay disciplined. And you know, Kyle Walker was practically playing as a third centre half, you know, as he kind of did for England in the summer. So the discipline they maintained is sort of unlike what we've seen from City before. But at the same time, I think we lacked a little bit of that cutting edge in those situations.
Both sides, Phil, have got footballers who Bernardo Silva spends the game next to Fernandinho. And listen, Bernardo Silva's just a good footballer, full stop. But it's this idea that he probably doesn't see himself there. And my point is that, you know, Liverpool have done something with Gini Wijnaldum over the last couple of seasons. What I was watching was footballers whose instincts and whose areas they want to play in, they may well have been 10, 15, 20 yards deeper, but the idea is they can break into them with the sheer quality that they've got if you give them the opportunity to do so. And I think it's testament as much, if not more, to Guardiola, who, you know, it's very rare he asks his team to do this sort of job, but he got such a total buy-in. Yep. Using Bernardo Silva as an example, Bernardo Silva gave absolutely everything and showed an unbelievable amount of discipline next to Fernandinho for that whole game.
I think we all knew that something like that was what City were going to have to do to try and stop us from playing. And to be honest, when Gundogan went off against Hoffenheim on Tuesday, and he was quite obviously injured to the point he wasn't playing, I was quite happy because it basically meant that midfield had to be their midfield. And I didn't think that those three players as a collective could do what they did yesterday.
Yeah.
Because that's not Bernardo Silva's natural game whatsoever. But again, you've got to remember these are intelligent footballers and they are able to adjust. But even still, because we've swarmed all over Fernandinho three games running and cut him off, disrupted him, stopped him from doing anything approaching what he wants to do as a footballer. So they obviously had to adapt to fit that. And Silva, and well, you can't really just say Silva, can you? Because there's two of them. But Bernardo Silva was very, very good at filling space, using the ball well, keeping it ticking over. I thought he was very good for them.
On Phil, on this, I think it tells you something about, again, imagine City finishing against Hoffenheim on Tuesday. There's bits of this they'll have worked on through the summer. I suspect, I don't think it'll be as simple as this, he just clicks his fingers and does this in a couple of days. But it shows, again, not just the seriousness with which Guardiola is taking this game, but the Manchester City players. The Manchester City players have committed entirely to what Guardiola wants. They've committed everything, they've given everything, and not one of them has particularly broken shape all the way through.
I think it's natural that, though, isn't it? Because if you go and ask a City player, what three things did you not like last season? They'll say Manchester Derby, when Nicholson won the league against Manchester United. They'll say Liverpool away in the league and the Champions League tie as a whole. So that's a serious
chunk almost.
Yeah, yeah. It's of their bad things that happened last season, we were responsible for pretty much all of them. So for them to come here, they want to erase that memory completely. They want to do something about it. They don't want to be looking at the fans and going, look, we've done this again. We've gone to Anfield and it's happened again. So they're obviously going to come in and go, we're really, really into whatever you want to do. Because what we did last season clearly doesn't work. Even if that's what we are about as a team, it didn't work. So let's try and do something different. And then they look at that and go, right, well, if this is what it is, it's what it is. And they bought into it. And they stopped us playing and we stopped them playing.
It's the value of an early goal. We got that maybe they'd have had something like this last season, Ian, but the value of an early goal. And that's where Milner starts. Keita goes off midweek and Milner starts. And neither of them, you suspect that they're both carrying injuries. To be honest, I think they're both kicked off there with an injury. Milner and Keita, but neither of them offers very much at all in either direction. It felt really, you didn't see them doing much off the ball. And you know, I know Keita was much longer on the pitch, but you didn't really see them, either of them, doing much on it either. I think there's a bit of an argument that it was Henderson and Wijnaldum were left in there pretty much on their own with this other footballer to carry, unlike City's three, who you got the impression were all doing the jobs they were meant to be doing.
Yeah, and with their two they were holding, our two, Wijnaldum and Henderson, weren't technically holding. They were switching occasionally, but we were still trying to stay in the same 4-3-3, that kind of little axis for the three in the middle that we played. I think Keita's an interesting one at the moment, because I think he is very much, he's kind of taken on what Bernardo Silva's done and he's playing for the manager in a way that's counterintuitive for him. I think he's being asked to do a job that he's not used to and learn the league at the same time. So he's playing a lot more withdrawn. He's playing a lot deeper. You're not seeing explosiveness. There's a ball that he plays in the first half, a crossfield ball that nearly results in a City attack. And it's one that I was saying to our kid on the walk back to the cars, that's probably a ball that would have been good enough in the German league. And it probably would have had enough on it. And it probably would have had a man get closer to it than you wouldn't have had somebody biting at you for it. But he's got to learn that it's not going to happen. He's done that three or four times. You know, he starts off very well against West Ham. Seems to take a dip. I think he must have started with an injury on Wednesday night for him to go off so quickly and be so poor while he was on. So he's obviously carrying something. He looks like he's learning to adapt. But the one moment that he gives us is the moment where he does actually run at their back four. He runs their central defenders, and that absolutely causes chaos for him. If we could have gone to do that more in the game, but I do think he's playing within himself because he's still learning the role.
Yeah, I think with that formation, especially the three in midfield, it's the balance is so important, and you know the relationship they have with each other and getting used to each other's attributes and the freedom you can give each other in different positions. So that's huge for a player like, you know, Keita, who was the main man in terms of Leipzig and the way they played, and he was, you know, had the onus to go and create chances himself. He's being asked to do almost a completely different job here, you know, having to take into consideration when to go, when to stay. I think we saw that against Napoli, where he was, you know, he's taking the ball and you know, in Germany, he was able to probably just drive and then play the pass, but he lost the ball in situations where you just can't afford to do that against a team like City.
It's getting to know your teammates as well as anything else. As you know, as following the manager's orders, a brand new league. It's what, you know, who are these fellas around me? What, you know, if I go there, where's he going to go? It's just genuinely getting to know people as well.
We've got to think, this time last year, Andy Rubber wasn't getting a game. Wasn't even getting on the bench this time last year. Oxlade-Chamberlain wasn't getting a game. We were looking at lads who were very quietly in the background learning how Liverpool play, which is probably why we're not seeing Shaqiri until we get the break glass, let Shaqiri loose in case there's a penalty moment, which is probably why we're not seeing Fabinho, why we're not seeing so much Keita in training. And God knows, training so far has been, it's been relaxed. It's been recovered for a day, train for tomorrow afternoon. And this week, that's the other thing no one's talking about. City had a day more than us to recover after the European game. We had a really tough European game on Wednesday. They'd already been home and were sitting recovering. So they've had that day more preparation. And I think what we've got is we will see the benefit of the new signings in January, same as we start to see Oxlade-Chamberlain and Robbo start coming through in January this year.
There is actually a sort of comparison to be made with Fabinho, actually, because everyone accepts that Fabinho is not getting a team because he's taking time to adjust, so you're just not seeing him. Whereas Keita's doing exactly the same in terms of adjustment, but you are seeing him.
And
they also explain easily each other's situation.
Yeah.
Like, you look at Keita and you go, well, that's why Fabinho's not getting in.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense. And you do wonder how much you'd have seen of him if Oxlade-Chamberlain and or Lallana were actually fit and available.
Yeah.
I think it would be a lot less.
Yeah, if they're fit, I think he becomes the late sub. He becomes the lad that you introduce on 70 minutes. It becomes the option.
Because to be fair to him at Chelsea, I thought he made a noticeable difference. He got us up the pitch. Yeah. He was a bit...
Got a bit of energy.
That was the word I was looking for. Energy. He was energetic. And so there's a player in there. I think it's easy to say it's a bit underwhelming so far in general. And I think that's quite accurate, perfectly. And I don't think anybody would... If you'd said he'd been underwhelming so far, I don't think anybody would be arguing with you.
But that's okay.
But that's exactly fine. That's exactly it.
September of last year, Mo Salah was a bit underwhelming and he was a bit wasteful.
Absolutely fine.
It's a crazy run of games as well to try and get acclimatised to, you know, the Premier League and the Champions
Every
League.
Every week it's harder. when do we play West Ham again, Gaffer? Hold on, we'll get good now.
It's like Man City have got Huddersfield three times before Christmas, don't worry.
There is something in Fuad. One of the things watching it was how well you had to play to get to play anywhere. And again, I think a lot of footballers through the game do good things, but it's almost like, and this is all over the pitch, it's almost like by the time you've done your good thing, you're shattered and you've gone through the compromise of doing the good things. That's what stopping people from playing does. And then the next thing is, it just sort of struck me as this, it was a game where footballers on both sides did good things, but very few of them managed to do good things consecutively. There's maybe that time where Mahrez breaks into the box for them, comes across the left and drags it across goal, where someone's played a really good ball quick. Mahrez does well. It's very difficult to think of many times where three footballers put together three good actions back to back in concert with one another.
Yeah, exactly. There were a number of times in the first half where I thought Gini Wijnaldum was brilliant and played some really nice little turns and little flicks and tricks. And he sort of kind of gets out of these situations and he's looking up and he's still on the halfway line or something. And he's got about a bank of four in front of him and another bank there. And you could kind of see from coming. His... Yeah, you could just see from his body language, like, it's taken me that much just to get out from right back. And I think that happened throughout for everyone. So, you know, Mahrez, at times as well with him, he sort of broke forward and they were knackered by the time they came down the byline. And he's not really a natural winger to get down and get chalk under the boots or anything. So, yeah, I think the cancelling out is the simplest kind of way of putting it, because just two really well-organised teams.
In the context of that, I think Ian was trying to say there before, James, that Salah is... that he felt like he had an edge of menace about him, which maybe hasn't quite been there, whether it was a little bit quicker, a little bit snappier, I think, partially where he was. I thought he was, I agree with it. I thought he did quite well. I felt that we struggled to get much of a tune out of Firmino. I thought that Mane does a lot of his best stuff again in this gauntlet three stages back where, you know, there's still a two end of level bosses to beat.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. He's still got that to sort, but he was doing all right stuff around there. But then when it actually came to get closer, it was like, oh, I can't be bothered with this. Whereas I thought Salah a couple of times, you just think by his own standards, and the standards are so high, he gets two all right-ish opportunities on his left foot where maybe... You know, when he was flying last season, he maybe takes one of them, but they're still on good chances, let's be quite clear.
Yeah, I've been a little bit surprised, to be honest, with a lot of the attention around him. And I know it's brought on, you know, in part because he was so successful last season. But I've been quite surprised by it all. If you look at his stats, they're actually not too bad. And he looks like he's playing, he's still playing with a reasonable amount of confidence. Yeah, his shooting has probably left him a little bit, I think. But yeah, he looks in decent, you know, in decent nick. I think if he's going to give someone a kicking very, very, very soon, someone's going to be on the end of a Mo Salah kicking. If it's not Man City at the weekend, you know, if it's anybody else, I think he probably gets one or two more opportunities.
I'm watching him be defended like James Collins on Suarez. Phil, do you remember when James Collins?
Astonishing! It's the best, one of the best defensive performances from an individual you will ever see in your life. It was incredible.
Yeah, because all he did was
there should be a DVD of like player camera James Collins on that day.
Because what Collins did was he just decided, I'm just disrupting this fella. So I'm just straight away, whenever the ball's anywhere near him, he thinks he's crackers. Wait till he gets a load of this. And I think that you've seen that. I think in arguably three games back to back with Salah, I think Luiz was great at it because Luiz also lives his life on the edge of chaos, and even then, you know, Salah gets in a couple of times. I thought City has a real sort of sense of we're never going to let him settle. We're never going to let him get one half decent touch in. We're going to harass him at all opportunities. I think that's maybe the thing he's got to work out, and it could just simply be that he plays well one day, and it doesn't matter how much you try to harass him.
Maybe just needs a little simple adaptation, like, because there doesn't seem to be much peeling off a shoulder of a defender. So what if, just instead of getting the ball into his feet, which we do quite a lot, why not try and spring him and do something a little bit different? Because there's an argument that the midfield needs to do something a little bit different and that what we're doing now isn't working, and that you can talk about how they're not getting the goals and as many chances of whatever and what the reasons for. Is it that they're being swarmed? Is it just that the service has dropped off? I think we're missing Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah, hugely in these games, than, yeah. We think, yeah.
More than probably anyone has acknowledged up to now, because he was breaking lines, he was carrying the ball with purpose quite aggressively. And right, Wijnaldum's good, Henderson's good, Milner's good, they're all good players, but none of them really pick the ball and sort of drive into the final third. Wijnaldum is possibly the most capable, but he seems to play a bit too deep to actually do it. So just try something a little bit different, and you can possibly, once you've done a different thing, you can go back to feeding him to his feet.
Also, it's now a good run of games for him. The other side of this.
This is a real... The next five, I think the sixth game from now is Everton at home, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's December.
And that's December. But the next, I think, what have we got? Huddersfield. If we're talking just Cardiff, league games, Red Huddersfield, Cardiff, Arsenal,
Fulham,
Watford, Everton, Burnley and Bournemouth before we play Manchester. That's eight games, and that you should be looking at 20, 22, 24 points from that. There's no reason in isolation why we shouldn't win any of those games.
These are also the games where you get to experiment. These are the games where you get to put Shaqiri into the midfield and let him run at people and see what happens.
And you're coming up against players that aren't as good, aren't as intelligent, aren't as disciplined as Manchester City and teams like that. So when they come up against our lads, there is that extra yard of space. They will allow someone like Mo Salah to turn off them.
If you're Huddersfield's back four, you're probably sitting there going, "Oh Christ!"
Yeah,
this is what it really is going to kick in.
Someone is going to get a kick in. Yeah. We haven't done it this season. Someone is going to be on the end of a proper battering.
I think it's quite likely that the three of them don't play together until Arsenal. To be perfectly honest, I think Shaqiri will start all three games. Sturridge will start at least one of them, maybe two of them, and there'll be a lot of strike forces and probably midfields the next three games.
I think you might see a slightly different shape in the midfield as well. Yeah. You might see him go more sort of 4-2-1-3, a little bit off the basis, so you'll feel as though we can just put two on to win his battles for him.
Like Cardiff at home, the formation played against Southampton.
Yeah.
It didn't work against Southampton because I think Southampton tried to do a bit more than Klopp probably expected to. It was almost a bit of a weird assumption that Southampton side had just come and sit in when they're not really that kind of team. So if you look at their two midfields, what Højbjerg and Lamina, they aren't a midfield who just sit there and soak up pressure. They'll actually play a bit of football, whereas Cardiff, Huddersfield, Fulham will probably be a little bit more.
Cardiff and Huddersfield, I think you could see a case for 4-1-4-1 again. This could be the point where Fabinho becomes the man behind the lines and then you just push everybody forward.
Before we go on to that, the big selection decision, Ian, it pays off for him second half the manager.
Oh, definitely.
Gomez, worthy of huge credit. I think that one long busting run down the right next to Sané told the story of his second half versus his first.
Yeah.
Ran the length of the pitch with a fresh Leroy Sané, held him off and got his cross on. And honestly, I was just all the way through. It was like watching a Grand National winner. that you've got money on, I hasten to add. And Lovren loved the battle with Jesus especially. That one particular tackle, which is gorgeous.
That's like a goal. It went off like a goal, yeah.
That's one of the best tackles I've ever seen in my life because there's three outcomes and two of them are it goes wrong. He wins the ball, he gets sent off, or Jesus is through on goal. And it's one of the three, and he got it
and
so right.
And you could put
right.
your money on the other two.
And it's Dexy Lovren, so yeah. I mean,
and he got it so right. The timing of it was fantastic.
It's Bobby Moore-esque.
Yeah. The fact he could just get up, and I think he picked the ball up as well.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah. It's brilliant.
Superb.
It takes it absolutely perfectly. He has a fantastic game. Gomez, we all know the reputation he's got for being one of the quickest at the club, if not the quickest at the club. But to see him outpace Sané, I think Sané actually had a start on him as well. Yeah. To see him actually, because the one player on the field you wouldn't want to be running against is Sané, especially not a fresh Sané. He's a magnificent footballer. To see him take him and get the cross in is unreal. It's absolutely blinding.
That's that strength after running that far.
Yeah. And he's a strong lad as well. You know, his positional sense all the way through. I'd looked at it when I saw the team, I thought, well, is he going with a three at the back and playing wing back? So we're going for a 3-4-3. No, he's just playing right. There goes the mic. He's just playing as a right back. And we forget he played right back this time last season. For a while, he was our first choice right back before he got the injury and Trent came in.
I think he was considered as a better right back than Trent until about April.
Yeah. And he did it brilliantly.
I think it's huge as well, the fact that he's been playing centre-half this whole season and you chuck him in a different position. Fine, he has played it last season, but you chucked him in against probably the best team in Europe, as you said earlier, and to make that adjustment within the space of 3 days after just playing a really intense game in the Champions League
and being our best player,
he's really I think he has been our best player over the last sort of few months, and you know his ceiling is I don't even know I don't think he's got one. He looks like he could end up being one of the best defenders the club's ever had.
Yeah. I've got Nathaniel Klein's thinking at the minute.
Well, I was about to say, the thing I was about to say to you, Phil, was I bet Nathaniel Klein doesn't sleep well last night. I think he must be...
He's looking at it and going, well, there's no League Cup. How am I getting in a game? How am I getting a game before Christmas? How does Nathaniel Klein play before the FA Cup third round? I just can't see how it happens.
I know, I think I completely agree. I think, he's not even on the bench yesterday because Alexander-Arnold obviously makes the bench. I think there's an argument that if Alexander-Arnold hadn't been available, say he was injured, there's an argument that Moreno makes the bench because he thinks, well, Fabinho can do a job for me right back if I need to. Whereas I could do with having a recognised lad who can come and play left back if that happens. I think it's James, it is difficult, isn't it, now, Nathaniel Clyne, if he's third in that particular pecking order, it's phone call to your agent territory today. Without being disrespectful to anybody, it would make complete, you know, as a human being, today you're in your agent thinking, I need to be playing some regular first team football next year.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to ambition then, doesn't it? And what you want out of your career, I suppose. And you know, and patience as well. You know, this is a wonderful team to be part of, a wonderful, you know, it's a wonderful time to be part of Liverpool Football Club in any context. But if you've got ambition, yeah, you're ringing your agent first thing in the morning.
And also, yeah, but you probably haven't felt part of it. You know, to be really fair to him, he's a human. He wasn't here last season. He wasn't part of it last season. He's just watched this team go on without him, and now go on without him even more when he's meant to be back fit.
And let's not forget, he's a really talented footballer as well. I mean, he's not shit. You know, he's got a good set of legs on him. That's
interesting turn of phrase.
That didn't come out right. But no, you know what I mean. I mean, he walks into a lot of football clubs. He really does. But you know, it's the strength and depth we've got now, isn't it? What a lovely problem to have.
Yeah, he feels like a Brendan Rodgers footballer now. He feels like he belongs.
The team's gone past him, I think, in terms of his style. Because he's a defensive right back, and I don't really think this team's about defensive full backs.
He doesn't give you that overlapping option. You know, he was quite good as an overlapper for Brandon, but for us now, it's not the same football.
He's not that old though, is he?
No, he's 28, I think.
Yeah, but I think I genuinely sort of feel a bit sorry for him to see Gomez go in and do that, because the other thing is that, you know, he's almost certainly not stupid. He watches Gomez and he goes, God, he was good. He's not watching Gomez going, oh yeah, yeah, I could do better. He's watching him going, God, he was good. And I think if your defensive fullback option becomes Gomez and you're going to drop Lovren in, then I think that, you know, the only thing I would say, if you are Klein, maybe to slightly counter Phil's point, is I think that the manager will still probably manage Gomez a bit. I think that might be a bit of a Preston to service one, and it might be that there's a game here and there in the next mid run.
But he can also manage Gomez by playing Trent right back and Lovren centre back as well. So that's
almost picking four from five.
That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just really hard to see what.
It's fair.
You need a really big injury crisis for Nathaniel Clyne to get anywhere near this team, I think.
He's playing against Cardiff, isn't he?
he'll have been with the manager all the way through. Phil had the early Sturridge sub again. Was interesting. I said before, for me, I was just getting so little joy. It seemed to me like in the same way that you got the impression Sterling Sané was pre-programmed. I don't think this was entirely pre-programmed, but it felt like Klopp's little indulgence was, he probably thought, well, Firmino's not working, but I can probably afford to take this gamble. It means I'm not taking any others though.
Yeah, I think it's also a bit of kind of riding Sturridge's momentum and the wave he's on in terms of his form, in terms of he's in his moment, as the manager's been saying for the last few weeks. And you know, if he had come on and scored another winner at that time, then, you know, we'd be having a pretty different conversation about him. And you know, he hasn't been picked for the England squad as well. So there's element of getting the time to work with him afterwards. So it's not, in terms of risk with him, I think the manager's now kind of confirmed his belief in him being a genuine option.
Who thought he was going to score the pen?
Everyone, didn't they?
To be honest, was there anyone who?
Yeah,
did, was there,
yeah I don't think anyone. I don't think. I never expect anyone to miss a penalty. Yeah. Really, I mean,
the only thing I said, like my dad said, that he always scores. I don't think he does. You know,
and then there's
records. Yeah, it's like he missed five. His last eight.
Took it, to be honest, in the ground. I don't know who gave it away. I thought it was Lovren. We're all slagging off Lovren around us, and then no.
It's fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah. What I did like about the pen though was Alisson. I thought Alisson was brilliant, because he wanders off, he has a little drink, he has a look at his bottle, tips it upside down, see if there's anything else in it, has another drink, goes back, jumps up and down a bit. He got in the lad's head. I'm sure he did. It's not just about Mahrez missing the pen. Alisson got in his head.
Well, I think that's, you know, it's an established technique, isn't it? You know, just drag this out as much as you really
make him think about what he's got to do.
Yeah. Also, when you watch the replay, because obviously Mahrez is putting the ball high, Alisson's going low, but his left arm is massive. He's got a huge left arm going up, so he's covering all bases. I think we know, but we've got one hell of a goalie there.
The video of Achterberg,
I've not seen it yet, no.
He actually stands with his back to the pitch, like he's got his attention, and he points, this is where the penalty's going.
He
puts his arm up like this, with his back to the goal, as in to go. It works because it's on the top right as well. And he goes, he's going up here. And the ball, if you actually look, it goes pretty much, the theory behind what Mahrez is doing is to put it exactly where Achterberg is pointed.
Atterbury says that's where he puts them, which again shows that, yeah, I mean, it's in many senses, it's the basics, but it's the basics done brilliantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know where he takes penalties. That's where he takes penalties. Tell the keeper that's what he does.
Keeping coaches there for,
it's literally his job, without having to run around or hand a piece of paper over. Just look at him. He's there on the sidelines. He's saying, put it there. Mm. That's where he puts it. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant video. And it shows the, again, and maybe this is the thing to take from the game, for Wilder, just something that John said last night, the sheer seriousness from everybody, that these were two serious football teams, serious about one thing, City retaining the title, Liverpool winning it.
Yeah, exactly. It shows now the position both these teams are, not just in this country, but in European football. You know, these are two of the elite. We can say, I think, comfortably that we can be on the same level as your Real Madrid and Barcelona on the form we're in. So, yeah, it's two great managers as well, really kind of battling out. I think these are the sort of challenges they thrive on. You know, Guardiola goes through last season, not saying it was easy for him by any means, but, you know, he didn't have that one big challenge, and Liverpool was that challenge, and he was outdone. So it must have been, you know, on his head, his players' mind to kind of get one back and to stop any of that from happening again.
Seriousness is a thing, James, I think. I think that, and maybe, you know, if this is last season, maybe Liverpool actually have more of a go. Maybe Liverpool actually think, you know, we'll throw it up in the air a little bit here, because, you know, we're happy with the journey towards 78 points and fourth. We'll come on to talk about where that barrier might be in a minute or two. But, you know, this now, it looked to me like it was, no, this is the moment. That's what I felt. I was watching. You were saying you were engrossed. This is the serious business from two hefty rivals.
Firstly, I completely agree. I thought it's a really grown up way of playing, and a really grown up managerial style from both managers. You know, I mean, massive, you know, plaudits to Pep Guardiola for you know, bringing his team out to perform like that. I've completely lost my train of thought.
That's all right, it happens.
Hate it when that happens.
I've done it before. It's bad.
The seriousness, Phil. The seriousness of the game.
Yeah, it was...
I remember what I was going to say.
Go on.
There we go.
It's come alive.
What I was going to say was this kind of this sort of mature way of playing now, this what you're talking about, on the back of our Champions League loss at the end of the season, how do you bounce back from that? How do you react? The best way to do it is in a kind of grown up, mature way of going, right, this is why this happened. X, Y, and Z is why we lost this final. This is why we didn't win the league. These are why we dropped these points. So you come into games like this with that kind of grown up, sort of mature head on. You go, right, we're going to identify and we're going to fix it. And that's exactly what we did yesterday. It wasn't about winning the game. It was about not losing. It was about not dropping that 2 points. Like you said, it's a 3-point fixture. It's exactly that. That's a real maturity now that we've got. And that's why, like you were saying, we are one of the elite clubs in Europe, because we can do both.
Maturity is interesting, Phil, because it's noticeable. Van Dijk comes out afterwards and says, yeah, it was a pen. In that sort of, yeah, I shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
As though, like, it's, you get the impression between him, Henderson and Milner, it's very easy for Klopp to have very straightforward 5-second conversations. You shouldn't have slid in there, I know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'd love to know what he was thinking, because Sané was going absolutely nowhere, and I don't think there was anyone in the box either.
No.
So there wasn't even like there was a cross on that he needed to cut out. And thankfully he's got away with it, but you still want to sort of ask a question of him and be a bit, did he panic? Did he?
I think he's got what happens in pre-season in his head.
Yeah, that's a fair point, actually.
When Sané sprints away from him, I think...
I forgot about that, actually. That's twice he's... Did he have a penalty or did he score?
No, he scored from
that one. Yeah, because I remember thinking at the time, actually, the reason he scored is because Van Dijk was like, well, this is a pre-season friendly, so I'll just sort of not make this mad tackle, but he did make the mad tackle.
The maturity, I thought you saw through the spine at the back there, Ian. Van Dijk, with that one exception, Alisson, who you've mentioned, Henderson and Wijnaldum, arguably the most mature two.
Are we allowed to say that? You know, the Henderson haters are going to come out in force.
They already hate me, don't you worry, Ian. But I thought that the two central midfielders all the way through, just, you know, again, it would be easy to say perhaps at times they're almost too sensible, but they are just so sensible at all stages. Like, this is what we're here for today, boys. This is what both sides are here for.
I don't think you can be too sensible in that game. I think that's the point James was making before. This time last year, we were 8 points behind City. If we'd played them this weekend last year, we have nothing to lose and we have to throw everything at them to try and make up ground. So what's the difference? We're 8 and 11, you're not going to catch up anyway. But at this point, going into the game, level on points at the top. And we're basically going into November level on points, because by the time we come back from the international break, we're 1 week away from November. So we'll be either level, three off, or three above. We're somewhere in the game. So being sensible with our big rivals is all we can do.
No, I think, Ian, on that, just to, you know, I want to talk about the table, Arsenal and Tottenham, but just be really clear, Liverpool's next two are Huddersfield. And Huddersfield Cardiff. Away and Cardiff at home. And so that we played 10. And we should be able to be, you know, to say we expect 6 points. So the point here is we go into play 10, joint top.
Yeah,
that's what we should. That, you can't take anything for granted. You've still got to get those points on the board. But we, off the back of yesterday's results, now have an excellent chance of going in to play 10, joint top. And in the meantime, Chelsea, you've got Manchester United. They may
Their 10th game is Spurs away as well, City's.
City's 10th game is Spurs away, although they're the boss against Spurs.
It's on a plough field on a Monday night, 24 hours after an NFL game.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah. It's mad, isn't it? It's the mad one. But I think that's the situation in the table. That's the grown-up thing, is that if you're Liverpool, you're having conversations in your team meeting, mentioning Huddersfield, mentioning Cardiff, saying, lads, this is what's at stake here. We can be played 10 and level forward. And, you know, right now there's three sides on 20. You extrapolate that over a season, it's a 95-point season for all three of them, which is crackers. You've got Arsenal and Tottenham are both on 18 points. This is, you know, this is the business end now. It's 8 games in, and yet we're already talking about the business end. I feel like the running started. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, the top four is going to, I think Josh mentioned before the game yesterday that the top four, I mean, you're probably going to need around 80 odd points to get fourth, which is crazy. I mean, I don't remember a season ever like that. And you know, you see Chelsea and Arsenal clicking into gear as well, despite not being fully tested. But the teams, there really isn't a clear kind of distinction between the top six at the moment, which has, you know, been the case in previous seasons. You don't have City going away with it by 20 points or anything mad at this stage. So yeah, it's, you know, we're setting the bar now. We're not chasing anyone. We're setting it. So the whole thing of maturity and playing with a level head and taking each game kind of in its own merit is what we need to be doing.
Grown-up football.
Yeah, exactly.
That grown-up football can give us 26 points out of 30. I can't remember a point where we've been at that level. I genuinely can't remember it. It'd be probably 88.
But imagine being 26 from 30 and not being like 3 or 4 points clear. It's a little bit annoying. In fact, it's very annoying.
It could only happen to us.
But at the same time, I sort of remember the fixtures coming out but if we lose to City, we could be 5 points off, even if we get 19. Because if we'd have won the first four, which we should have won all four of them, drawn at Spurs, drawn at Chelsea, beat Southampton, and lose to City. Mm. That's what, 17 points? On paper, that's not a dreadful return, really.
It's better than 2 points a game.
And you'd be...
They'd be on 22.
You'd be 5 points off.
Yeah.
But they could have beat Wolves as well.
And we've got to go to the Etihad still. No, I think that we're in for a long season of feeling like we're on the verge of something, and I think it's going to be really strange, and I think the tone's been set now, Ian. I think that, you know, you're right to say we could end up being played 10-26 on the board, going fab, and saying we're joint top with two others, to be honest with you, lads.
I'm worrying about goal difference.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, because it's already got in my head. Well, goal difference.
I had it after the second game.
Who ends up nights off goal difference?
There's six better than us at the moment. That's we need to catch up on that. We do need
Huddersfield and Cardiff. They've played Huddersfield and Cardiff. Yeah.
We need to start catching up on that.
Who are the worst two teams that have possibly ever played in this division?
We haven't given anyone a kicking yet. I'm telling you, it's coming.
There's going to be a game. There's a game where Moe scores five on
those
his own.
those delicious 4-5-0s, 5-1s from last season. Yeah. It's coming.
We're having them.
Fulham look accommodating for that in a month, don't they?
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
No one knows how good
that's like watching a football team be a sieve.
I'll say no one knows how good Arsenal are, Ian. I'll say that I refuse to accept, I don't even care who the opposition is, you were 9 on the bounce, you're a good team.
You are a good team. Ramsey's goal last night was beautiful. Yeah. That's a beautiful
unreal goal.
You were 9 on the bounce, you are a good team. It's a strange game to talk about. I'm going to be talking about it further on the review show with Sean Rogers, and let me let you know now that Sean is absolutely getting stuck into this.
How many photos has he sent you?
I know where everybody passed every ball all the way through that game, and trust me, not many of them went into the penalty area. It's like, if you get to see him, we'll probably tweet it out, but it genuinely is like both sides. I'd like an invisible force field of semicircleness around the boxes. Like, nah, you can play where you like, but none of you is passing there. It just bounces off somehow. Absolutely crackers.
It's basically the beginning of Dad's Army.
That's exactly what
and there's
like.
And there's the graphic for this show.
Yeah, that's all you need. That's all you need. So we'll be talking at length on that. We've got something fantastic coming up at the end of the week as well. With I'll just tell you what it is. It's Desert Island Goals with Jamie Carragher. That is coming at the end of the week. It's terrific. Andy recorded it a couple of weeks back. It's a real, real pleasure to listen to. So that's to look forward to as well. If you don't subscribe, there's a reason to do so. There's the review show as well. And all the usual stuff right the way through the week. It's time for us all to take a breath, though, with the international break and just sort of relax. By the way, are we nervous about Bournemouth yet? On our list of sides that were good.
Well, it's a bit weird that they've got the same amount of points as the team at the top of La Liga after the same number of games, and they're about eighth or something, aren't they?
Yeah, they're about sixth. They're battering everybody.
Bournemouth and Wolves in December.
This season's weird. Tottenham are still up there, and they've been shit.
I know, it's mad that
they're really rubbish.
I want them to no longer be our business, and they just refuse to die.
But they're like, what, they're 2-3 points behind?
Two points behind us. 2 points behind us.
How's that happened? They played an extra game. I mean,
they've all had easy starts though, really.
Here we are, Phil. Phil,
we'll play the easy teams at some point, although I'm looking at these fixtures and I'm not sure when it happens.
Well, that is the thing. And we've got to do a count back as well. Phil, can you do the count back for us on Spurs and make sure that the maths is right in the league table?
Yeah, they're cheating.
Someone just written something
Daniel
down.
Levy's done something amazing.
It's like writing a scorecard down in golf. Thank you very much indeed to Phil Blundell, to Ian Salmon, to Fuad Hassan and to James Sutton. It's been the Anfield Rap in association with Redsbet this week. I'll be honest with you, I'm absolutely shattered after that run of fixtures. Let's just get on, get the other side, have an international break. Let's just chill out, Reds, and then let's really, really go put the hammer down. Sports Social Podcast Network.